We'll talk a little bit about Zohar. We know that the Torah gives us two mitzvahs about Amalek. Both of them are in Parshas Kisetze. Now remember, it's important to keep this in mind because the story of Amalek attacking us is in Parshas Beshalach, right after we left Mitzrayim. Amalek was the first nation that attacked us when we left Mitzrayim, and Chazal, of course, describe Amalek as jumping into a boiling bath when the Jews left Mitzrayim. The whole world was afraid of them, and Amalek jumped in brazenly for no reason except for sinna against the Torah, against Judaism, against God. And even though Amalek got burnt, but they conveyed the impression, hey, you know, it's not impossible to fight against the Jews. Amalek lost, but next time we'll win. So Amalek is described as the making the bath cold. That's the Lashon of Asher Korcha Baderech. So Korcha literally means they encountered you, Baderech. And there are many Midrashim that connect that to Mikra. Mikra means coincidence. Amalek represents the notion that there's no God, there's no Hashgacha. But Rashi brings the Medrash that Korcha is a Lashon of Kerirus, coldness. Amalek made the bath cold. But keep in mind, though, the following. In Parshas Beshalach, there is no mitzvah that we're given regarding Amalek. There is a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah to us. Moshe was commanded, Kisov Zos Zikaron Basefer, write this down in a sefer, which is interesting, which actually means Parshas Amalek was written before the rest of the Torah. It was before Matan Torah. Kisov Zos Zikaron Basefer, V'sim Biyazna Yoshua, and instruct Yoshua, Ki macho emche, God is talking, I will eradicate Amalek mitachas Hashemayim. So, there is no mitzvah that we eradicate Amalek. Now, the mitzvah of eradicating Amalek is not in Parshas Beshalach. The mitzvah is in Parshas Kisetze, where it says, Zachor, remember what Amalek did to you, and Macho Timcha, and you shall eradicate. Again, this is one of the strange mitzvahs. Never forget to eradicate Amalek's memory from under the heaven. Never forget to totally forget them. Okay, now the reason why this is important is because of the following. We know that Chazal teach us that the only Kriyas HaTorah that is a Torah commandment, that the Torah says you must do, is Parshas Zohar. Because the Torah says, Zohar, remember Amalek, and Chazal say that it's not only thinking about it, but Zohar means with your mouth, verbally, or at least if someone is reading it, Shomea Kahaneh. And as a result, now again, the Torah doesn't mandate certainly that it has to be the Shabbos before Purim. That's certainly rabbinic to be connected to Purim. But the Torah does require that once a year, and I'll discuss how you know it annually, once a year, we are mechuyev to verbalize or hear somebody verbalize the idea of destroying Amalek. So that's why it's widely assumed that Parshas Zohar is a mitzvah d'oraisa of mechiyas Amalek, of zechiras Amalek. Now, lemaisa, there's a lot of questions on that, because the following. Number one, even if verbally declaring about Amalek being eradicated is a d'oraisa, does the Torah require that it be from a sefer Torah? If I read it from a sitter, why wouldn't that be good enough? Or if I simply say in my own words, I remember the evil of Amalek and resolve to eradicate them. So the emphasis, and the Minchas Chinuch himself discusses, it's not so obvious that even if Zechiras Amalek is a chiyuv of the Araisa, it has to be the sefer Torah and it has to be the minyan. Okay. But let's assume for a moment that it is the Araisa. But the Magen Avraham says the following halacha. Let's say a person missed Parshas Zohar. Right? So he missed the right time for doing it. But the Magen Avraham says he should be mechavein on Purim when they read Vayavo Amalek, which is from Parshas Beshalach. And the Magen Avraham says you can be yaitzei the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zechiras Amalek with the Kriyas HaTorah of Purim. This is a Magen Avraham's Shita. So there are many, many Achrayim, including Rabbi Kiveger, are chaylek in the Magen Avraham, because they basically say that, what do you have to remember? In other words, when the Torah says, remember Amalek, it means remember that you must eradicate them. In Parshas B'Shalach, it doesn't say you have to eradicate Amalek. So the Magen Avraham, as the Rabbi Kiveger actually learns, that you're taka not yaitzei with Parshas B'Shalach. You're only yaitzei with the mitzvah that gives you the mitzvah of remembering and eradicating, which is only kiseitzei. And so that's one horror where it's important to know the difference between B'Shalach and kiseitzei. B'Shalach describes what Amalek did, but it does not give you a commandment to eradicate them or to remember them in that way. So that's one machlokas. Another issue is a very interesting psak of the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer gives a person an etza. He says like this. Where do you get 1 year? Now, you know, at the end of Shacharis, some Siddurim, many Siddurim, have something that's called Sheish Sechiris. You've seen that. Sheish Sechiris, meaning six mitzvahs that you're supposed to always remember. The Torah can remember it. Remembering Shabbos, remembering Miriam for Lashon Hara, remembering Amalek, right? So some people say it every day. So where do we get the idea that you only do it once a year? In other words, Parsha Sachris D'Oraisa, once a year. Where do you get once a year? So the Gemara itself says that we say that when a person dies, a parent dies, so the maximum mourning you have for a parent is 1 year. Yud Beis Chodesh. Because we say, Ein ha-meis mishtakeach min ha-lev ad Yud Beis Chodesh. That once there's a powerful memory in your heart, it takes 1 year for it to dissipate. So consequently, when I remember Amalek, assuming I do so with the right kavana, it theoretically can remain with me for a whole year, but after a year it gets less intense, therefore you have to be mechazik it. That's where you get the 1 year. In other words, theoretically, by verbalizing it once a year, you can have a memory that keeps you going for a year. Ah. So Zot de Chassam Sefer, actually it's too late for this year already, you messed it up already, I messed it, we all messed it up already, but the Chassam Sefer says the following. What happens if you read Parsha Zohar in a Shana Pshuta, And next year is a Shana Muberes like this year, you actually have 13 months between Parshas Zohar to Parshas Zohar. Eibazai, how do you fulfill the directive of Chazal that you have to have your booster shot before 12 months, or at the 12-month point? So the Chassam Sefer says, therefore, a Yirei Shemayim should be Mechavein. Well, like the Magen Avraham, you could have done it with B'Shalach, but the Chassam Sefer says you should be mechavein when they read Kiseitse before Rosh Hashanah. Before Rosh Hashanah, and of course the Baal Kori would have to be mechavein as well, that we're doing this to be mekayim the mitzvah, the araisa of Zechiras Amalek, which is, there's essentially you're doing it after 6 months, and then you'll only have 7 months till the next step. So the Chassam Sefer says, any Shana Pshuta, before a Shana Muberes, one should be mechavein to be mekayim the mitzvah of Amalek with the kriya of Parshas Kiseitzei, in order that he shouldn't have 12 months without without Zechiras Amalek, which is mishtakach v'nalei. Now, if of course you learn, like the Minchas Chinuch, that a kriya in a Sefer Torah is not ma'akev the Doraisa, then of course you have much easier ways of doing it. Just say the Shei Zechiras even once within the year, and that's going to be
a good thing. Somebody says it during the year,
is it a mitzvah d'oraisa?
Is it a mitzvah d'oraisa? From the
Torah? I'm sorry, what are you asking to say? What?
Say every time somebody reads it from the Torah, it's going to be a mitzvah d'oraisa.
Yes, for sure. That is for sure, because... Well, it's not clear, because if I say a memory can last you for a year, so it could be that reading is not an extra memory, so to speak.
So then according to the Chassam Sefer,
Oh, you're asking, in other words, since I'm reading it when I still have the ration of the first memory, I hear what you're saying. So the Chassam Sefer Reis HaChais does hold, so it seems that he does hold, every kriya will be a kiyum d'oraisa of it. So this is a chiddush of the Chassam Sefer. Again, now we already missed our opportunity, but maybe remember it for next time.
Maybe kind of, on the other point of view, maybe you could say it's only a key mitzvah if it enables you to have a longer-lasting memory. So, therefore, in this scenario, the chassam sofer would be a key, but not if I just read it every 5 minutes.
That's a possibility. In other words, what Yishai is suggesting is that is a possibility. That a kriya within a year is a kiyum ha-mitzvah if it enables me not to forget with the passage of 13 months.
Every minute is going to be another minute.
No, I understand that, but the problem is that you don't need it because you're going to read Parsha Zachar in a scheduled time. Meaning like this. If in the schedule of your life, you know, there's going to be Parsha Zachar, so you don't need that. Right. You don't need it, in effect. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, so that's one thing. Now, another thing is this. You may recall that the last verse of Kiseitze, Ki Macho Timcha, you should erase. Macho Timcha es Zecher Amalek Mitachas HaShemayim. You shall eradicate their memory from under the heavens. Lo Tishkach. Do not forget. Very emphatic ending of a pasuk. So you'll recall, and this is a very, very interesting history, that this pasuk is read at least twice. Actually, sometimes it's read five times with Taimani and everything else. But basically, in most shuls, based on a hachra of the Mishnah Brura, the whole pasuk is read twice. One time it is read Zecher Amalek, with a segol, Zecher Amalek. Shesh Nekudas, in other words, three dots under the Zion, three dots under the Chav. And sometimes it is read Zecher Amalek, five Nekudas, a Tzere, an A under the Zion, and a Segel under. And since there is some Shaila how to read it, so the Mishnah Berurah Machriya to say it twice. Now, let me point out a little bit of the history of this, because it's not at all such a pasuk thing. In the Maaser Rav, it's a very important sefer. The Maaser Rav is a compendium of the Minhagim of the Vilna Gaon. Again? I didn't hear you. Yeah, that's correct. And in the Maaser Rav, it is recorded that the Vilna Gaon read B'sheish Nekudas. He didn't read it twice. The Vilna Gaon just read Zecher. Macho Timcha as Zecher Amalek, and that was it. Now, the Itach Gisa, on the other side of the coin, Chaim Volozhiner also says the Vilna Gaon only read it once, and he read Zecher. So this is a strange situation. The one thing that Tzad HaShava is that Vilna Gaon did not read it twice, but there were two different Mesiris what the Vilna Gaon's minhag is. Now it's interesting. This is not the only place where there are sometimes contradictions between the Maaser Rav and Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner is known to be the Talmud Muvok of the Gra, but it is interesting that it is brought down that in terms of knowing the Diyuk, all the Gra's Minhagim of Tefillah, Rav Chaim Volozhiner is not considered to be the most reliable source, because you have to know, the Gra did not have a yeshiva, per se. The Gra basically learned all day. But the Gra had Talmidim that would come in at different times. Now, Rav Chaim Volozhiner already had a job when he met the Vilna Gaon. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was the Rav of Volozhin. He was already, his first rabbi was the Shagas Aryeh. He was already the Rav of Volozhin when he met the Vilna Gaon. This was going in his 30s or late 20s or the like. And because he was a working man, he had a job, you know, and Volozhin was not next door to Vilna. Volozhin was around 100 to 150 kilometers away. He could only see the Gaon on occasion. And he used to take 2 months a year. He would take a month at a time to go to the Vilna Gaon and ask him all of his conscious, and he was very, very close to the Vilna Gaon, but he only saw the Vilna Gaon 2 months a year for around 20 years. So as a result, it says that he was not always totally familiar with daily minhagim, and the fact that he heard the Gra a few times, Parsha Socher, again, the Gra could be chayyer, right? It says the Gra could be chayyer at various times. What did the Gra do when he was younger? What did he do when he was older? The Gra was always machriya halachas, and the Gra came to new chidushim, and the Gra came to new understandings. So as a result, it's brought down that the Mechabrim of the Maaser Rav were the Dayanim in Vilna. Rabbi Socher Ber was he's called the Zakan HaRav of Vilna. He was like the head of the Vilna Basin, and he knew the Gra on a daily basis. So it's actually brought down in any stira between the Maaser Rav and Chaim Volozhiner, as to what the Gra's minhag was, the Maaser Rav is considered to be more determinative. So as a result, it would seem that the Hachra of the Maaser Rav would be to say Zecher and not Zecher. And in fact, that was the minhag in Lita. The minhag in Lita was to say Zecher. The idea of the two readings, which is almost universal, even if you go to a, like, you know, a real modern Orthodox synagogue, you know, they're, you know, everyone of those two, you know, reads it twice. That is really a kamada chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah. It actually is a chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah, which is only like 100 years old. You know, it wasn't such a common practice. I'm not telling anyone to abandon the practice, but it was not a practice that was that makubal to do two readings that way. But the other thing I want to mention is this. There is a popular misconception. What is the basis of the two readings? And I remember even hearing this as a child in school. This is what teachers told me, and it seems to be a mistake. It does not seem to be accurate. They connect it to a Gemara in Bava Basra, the Gemara in Lo Yachbor. The Gemara in Lo Yachbor talks about an interesting educational question, and that is, if you have two teachers, two Malamdei Tinaikas, one is very, very strict, that kids have to know it exact, but he doesn't cover a lot of ground, right? He'll do five psukim of chumash, you know, a month, but they have to know those five psukim of chumash. And another teacher covers a lot of ground, covers a lot of ideas, but the knowledge is not so accurate. So do I say, oh, listen, these are little kids, let them learn a lot of Torah, and then they'll correct things. So one Amman the Omar says, you know, better for them to learn a lot, even if it's not so accurate. When they get older, it'll all straighten out. The other Mandi Amr says no. Shabeshta, kivin di ol. Once there's a crumb mistake in the head as a little kid, it's going to stay with you, you know, even when you grow up, and therefore it's more important to have a Rebbe who insists that everything be accurate. And the Gemara brings an interesting raya, that there is such a svar that what you learn as it's the reversal of Girsa the Yankusa, or Yizi Yankusa, we say what you learn as a young person, you remember better. Well, that's normally a good thing. Like, you remember it if it's right, but you also remember if it's wrong, right? So Girsa the Yankusa can work as a negative as well as a positive. And it gives the story of Yayav ben Saraya, Yayav. That Yayav at one point was also told to eradicate Amalekim, because there were a lot of Amalekim David HaMelech's time, that Shaul did not eradicate them. Again, it's an interesting question, because the Pasuk is Mashma, there's only one Amaleki that survived, and that was Agag, and yet in David HaMelech's time there seems to be a lot of them. Did they all come from Agag? That's an interesting question. But putting that aside, it says that Yayav did not kill the Nekevos. Did not kill the female Amaleks, because Yoav said that Timcha Zecher Amalek means only the males of Amalek and not the females, and that's because his Rebbe mispronounced it. That the Rebbe mispronounced the word Zecher, so it sounded like male. Now, the problem is, the Gemara doesn't have Nekudas. The Gemara doesn't have Nekudas, so we're not sure exactly what was the mispronunciation that led Yayav astray. So many people learn the Gemara that that's the nafgamina between Zecher and Zecher. Zecher means the memory of Amalek. The memory, so you have to eradicate the memory, that includes the Zecharim and the Nekevos. Zecher is Zecharim shel Amalek. So according to that, the mistake of Yayav's Rebbe was that he pronounced it Zecher, which means only the males, when it should have been Zecher, meaning the memory, and therefore Zecher was the Sherish of the Tais. That's how many people learn that Gemara. But Lachara, that really makes no sense at all, because if it is Zecher that means males, the Gemara explicitly says that the reading that it means males is incorrect, and the Gemara uses this as an example of Shabeshta Kivin Di Olol. So if that's what Zecher means, there would be no reason for us to read Zecher, and certainly there's no reason for the Maaser Rav to say that the Gaon preferred Zecher. Moreover, it's very clear that zecher does not mean nails, because it's important to understand, and if you look at the Maaser Rav, you will see that the Gra has sheish nekudas, not only in zecher Amalek, but even in Ashrei. And it's interesting. In Ashrei, we have zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu. The Vilna Gaon says, you read it, which we don't do, zecher Rav Tuvcha Yabiyu. Now there, it's clear that the only possible meaning of either zecher or zecher is the remembrance of your goodness. It doesn't mean male or female there. Right? So it's a davar barur that zecher and zecher has nothing to do with the Gemara in Lo Yachbor. And if you look at the Bach and the Marsha, you see that the mistake was a third reading, which we don't do, and that is Timcha es Zachar Amalek. Zachar. Again, it probably was a mispronunciation. It probably was not a different reading, but the Rebbe didn't articulate clearly. So Timcha es Zachar Amalek, the Zacharim of Amalek, and that, the Gemara says, was a mistake. And the Rebbe needs to be replaced for that, because Shabeshta Kivin Dio. Oh, okay? So the point I'm making is, it's an important point, that many, many people connect the Zecher and the Zecher with Yayav and the Gemara in Lo Yachbor, but Lecher is a Dabar Borer, that cannot be the site of these two readings. Okay. Now, as I say, it could be the Mishnah, the Mishnah Brura likes to follow the Minhagei Agra. I don't think the Mishnah says it this way, but it could be that the reason he's machriel l'chumra is precisely because there is a machlokas, Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Maaser Rav, although the Mishnah doesn't say it that way, as to what the minhag hagra was. So Mamela and the Mishnah Brura was miyayetz to do both of those readings. Now, what they do in many yeshivas, including here, is they read all of Parsha Zohar, I think, three or four times for Teimonim and Sfardim. And that's a whole other question. Whether you're only Yaitzeh in your particular Havara, meaning it's an Ashkenazi Yaitzeh. So normally by Kriya Satira, which is only Drabanan, even on Shabbos, it's Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's still Drabanan, so we are not Machmer and Havara. So an Ashkenazi who reads in his Havara to his Sfardi or vice versa, everybody's Yaitzeh. But for Parsha Zohar, if you hold that the Kriya is the Araisa, many are Machmer. In fact, I heard Rav Avadya Zatzal was giving a drasha to his shir, Moshe Shabbos, famous Moshe Shabbos shir. So they were eating out of his hand because he was they're mainly Sfardim, and he was talking about how he was warning Sfardim not to go to Ashkenazi shul on Parsha Zohar. He says, "Hey, Momrim, Amalek Zohar, Amalek, Maze Amalek." The word's not Amalek, it's Amalek. And the Mamaisa, about Ashkenazi also says Amalek, but he's saying, says, there's nothing called Amalek, whatever. And so they were going crazy. Anyway, but be it as it may, for Parsha Zohar, there is an Inyan talking to the Mahada to hear the Kriya in your Havara, and that's why in many yeshivas they'll read it several times to be Yaitzeh that Inyan. Yeah.
In Kiseitze, you only say which?
In other words, normally?
Well, I was going, like, with the Chasam Sofer, he would listen to Kiseitze, and he's only going to get one.
That's true, but as I mentioned that before the Mishnah Berurah, the Minhag was only to read it once. Now, which way did they read it? So, the Stam Chumash has Zecher, right? It actually has a Tzeri, five Nekutas. There's the Graz Chiddush that the correct reading is Zecher. So the Chasam Sofer probably just read it with Zecher, and that's what you're going to hear. Now, sometimes Baal Kori is attuned to the Chasam Sofer. He'll actually read the Pasuk twice, even in Kiseitze. But most Baalei Kriya do not read it twice in Kiseitze. Yeah.
I want to ask, what's the Makor that we read Dafka Parsha Samali from the Torah as opposed to Sefer Tzias Mitzrayim or Kriya Shema?
Yes. So it comes from Kisayv Zos Sigaran Basefer. That's great. That actually is a pasuk in Mishalach. By the way, the Brisker Rav says very beautifully. He says it's almost a kind of a drishy voice. When Hashem tells Moshe after the Melchama of Amalek, Kisayv Zos Sigaran Basefer, write this down in a sefer. Again, this is a pre-sefer Torah. Sefer, Parshas Amalek. And then it says, V'sim b'yosnei Yehoshua, and put it in the ears of Yehoshua. So what's the lesson of V'sim b'yosnei Yehoshua? See, something as he says, that it's very, very important that Moshe verbalize the pronunciation. In other words, it's not enough to write it, because when you write it, it's without nekudas. And you can see that without nekudas, you have the tais of Yayav ben Tzeruya. So that's why the Torah says, Kasayv v'sim b'yosnei Yehoshua. Tell Yehoshua how to pronounce it. There needs to be a direct Messiah as to its pronunciation. Although it's Chavala, apparently we don't have the direct Messiah. But L'chalapach is the Torah's merames that the lack of pronunciation could cause takalos in the future if you don't pronounce it correctly. Okay, that's v'sim b'yosnei Yehoshua. Yeah. So this is the mitzvah of Zohar. Now, we have another mitzvah in Kiseite, two mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of Zechira Samalek, and one is the mitzvah of Machia. Machai Timche. You must destroy the Zecher of Amalek. As the Rambam says, if you meet an Amaleki, Bisman Hazeh, even, you have to take out your gun and kill him. Right, we don't know who they are, etc. And again, they say, B'Shem Rav Chaim, that any ideology, any nation that wants to destroy Am Yisrael is Amalek. But again, it's not clear that there's a... Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, yeah, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, yeah. But it's not clear that Rav Chaim was saying this as a psak halacha. Now, and also you have to be very careful. Amalek is a particular kind of enemy, even in Ruchnius. You have to be careful. The Torah emphasizes that Amalek attacked us in the Derech, meaning there was no land that we had, there was nothing we had that they could take. And as Amalek represents a pure hatred with no potential gain. If a Russia wants to take Eretz Yisrael away from us, that's not Amalek. And it's interesting, you talk about Palestinian terrorism, it's not Amalek. They want something. You know, so that doesn't mean they're not Rishayim. But there are many types of Rishayim. Not all Rishayim are Amalek Rishayim, right? So you can't just get around and say, oh, this is Amalek and that is Amalek and everything else. But be it as it may, it's also very clear halachically that Amalek is a genealogical concept, that although it is a spiritual idea, but the chiyuv of actively killing refers to a particular nation. Now, Rav Sadia Gaon records, this is fascinating, Rav Sadia Gaon records that, this goes back a very long time ago, this goes back to the 900s, that the Armenians, it was Makubal that the Armenians were descended from Amalek. Now we have in the old city today, we have the Armenian quarter. They're actually very mysterious people. They own a lot of real estate in Yerushalayim, but they have these walls. You walk into the old city, they have walls within the walls. They have like walls, compounds, and the compounds are closed at 7 o'clock at night and everything else. Armenians are a bit mysterious. They wear the long, the Armenian priests wear the long black cassocks and everything else. So Sadia Gaon actually records that it was believed that they were Amalek. It's interesting, of course, that the Armenians themselves were victims of a tremendous, tremendous genocide in the beginning of the 20th century. The Turks murdered many, millions of Armenians, and this emboldened Hitler. It's a strange, I don't know exactly what to make of it, but when people told Hitler when he was proposing to kill the Jews, that, you can't get away with that. He says, who remembers the Armenians? And this actually emboldened him to take the stuff that he took. So in a sense, even when the Armenians are victims, they're Gerer Mechorban to Israel, somehow. That was what it was. Yeah.
Did someone make a bracha on killing an
alcoholic? Do you make a bracha? It's a good question. It seems like an odd thing to do, but l'chayra, there is a bracha when you die al Kiddush Hashem, you make a bracha before you die. The question is, would you make a bracha on killing Amalek? Yeah. Because now, granted, you don't make a bracha on Olay Sasa. On the other hand, of course, I can ask you the same question. You'll notice we don't make a bracha on Sechiras Amalek, though. It's interesting, right? We don't make a bracha on Parsha Sachar itself. It's a good question. Let me think about it. question. Now, they say with a lot of mitzvahs, maybe you won't be successful. They say you don't make a, one of the reasons you don't make a bracha on staka is because maybe the yoni won't accept or whatever it would be. What do they say? They say, this is an old joke. They said if the briskers would have been at the Akeda, you know, since Tama Avram Avinu made a bracha ala shechita, so bringing a korban, you make a bracha. And then the malach cancels it. So Avram said, no, it's a hefsek. Can't be mafsek. But okay.
By a malach, it would be mitzvah to kill someone who adopts the ideology of, according to this malach, the refine. So why do we have to come with a malach if they adopt the ideology of a malach, which involves destroying the Jews, so they're rodef anyway, so I have to kill them anyway?
No, but the difference is this. Yeah, the difference is that Rodei is really only B'shas Maisa, meaning to say like this. I can kill the guy who's running after me to kill me. But when he's simply in bed, when he's simply part of a nation that wants to destroy Am Yisrael, but he's not actively doing anything. Right, so this is it's clear that Amalek is way beyond the normal halachas of Rodek. Rodek is normally b'shas ma'isa.
Or Moser?
Would a Moser be? Well, okay, but a Moser, not every member of this nation is actively being a Moser either, you know, so it's a question of affiliation. But be this way, it's unlikely that Rav Chaim meant it l'halacha. We're not really clear, but it's unlikely that he meant it l'halacha.
It would be, yeah. If there was an actual Amalek, you knew for sure.
So here there's a chiddush. There actually is a chiddush like this. There's a chiddush from Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach says an interesting chiddush. Rav Sternbach wants to be mechalek between the mitzvah of killing the seven nations, which are also extinct today, the Chiti, Amori, and the mitzvah of killing Amalek. This is what Rav Sternbach says, a very interesting horror. Rav Sternbach says that by killing the seven nations, the Torah's lashon is lo sechaye kol neshama. You cannot let any person live. So I see anybody, I got to kill him. With Amalek, the Torah doesn't say explicitly you must kill Amalek. The Torah says you must eradicate their memory from the earth. So Rav Sternbach says there is a mitzvah to kill an Amaleki only if you can finish the job, meaning. If there's, let's say there are 1,000 Amalekim, and I can kill 500, Rav Sternbach says, I have no chiyuv to kill the 500, because even after I kill the 500, their memory is still in the world. That's why he tainas, this is the yishuv that he has, although there are many other kirutzim, why we find that Shaul HaMelech was given the commandment to kill Amalek, and David was not given the commandment to kill Amalek, even though there are Amalekim all over the place. And the answer was, that for whatever reason, Amalek was concentrated enough in the time of Shaul HaMelech that he could have finished the job. David HaMelech could not have finished the job. So even if Amalekim were walking in and out of his palace, there was no particular reason to kill them because this would not have eradicated their memory. And this is how he's masbering the Radvaz. The Radvaz, one of the Pirushim and the Rambam, the Radvaz says that the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is not going to be Mekoyim till Yemos HaMashiach. So it's a big caution. What type of thing? I mean, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Well, where do you see we don't do a mitzvah till Mashiach comes? So you might say we don't know who Amalek is, but Sternbach says that it's not that there's no mitzvah today. There is a mitzvah today, but it's not biyadeinu to finish the whole job. And Mimela, unlike the Sheva Umais, so he says, for the Sheva Umais, if you met an Amori with an Amori, you'd have to kill him. That's Emes. But Amalek, see, it's a Hechi Timtza. The killing of an Amalek is a Hechi Timtza, so there shouldn't be a Zecher in the world. But if there's still going to be a Zecher in the world, you don't have a Chiyim to kill them. For Amalek? It's mashmanat. It's mashmanat because you're not eradicating their memory. I mean, it's like a hechsher mitzvah. Maybe there'd be a hechsher mitzvah. Every one less.
Yeah. If you kill everybody, you still don't have their memory. You have both.
But that's the paradox. Obviously, when the Torah says eradicate their memory, the Torah does not mean eradicate them so that nobody will know they ever existed, because we're mechayev to remember. Well, that's an interesting question. An interesting question you might ask is, would there be a mitzvah to remember Amalek if we successfully eradicated Amalek? Now, that's an interesting shaila. Is the Torah saying, remember them so that you will eradicate their memory? And Enoch Inami, once their memory is eradicated, forget them? Or, that's an interesting question. Or would there be a mitzvah of remembrance even after? You know, Lahavdo, Meya Havdalas, this was Al-Sad Hara, Al-Sad Harishas. This was a question Hitler Yimach Shemo himself had. You know, Hitler wanted to eradicate Am Yisrael, but he felt bad that nobody would ever know there were Jews, so nobody would ever give him credit for his tremendous victory over the Jewish people. So he wanted to create, he did create, a massive museum in Prague of all types of things that were looted from Jewish homes and Jewish yeshivas. And this was a big, big museum. This was supposed to be the museum of the Jewish people that were destroyed. I remember it went to Washington, D.C. They took it on tour in the Smithsonian. So I went to see it. I remember seeing the Ksav Yad of the Maida Yehuda. You know, a lot of Kiddush cups and everything else, but this was the real Messiah was that Ksav Yad. So Hitler also had the Shiloh. You know, once you eradicate, you still have to remember. You know. So by Amalek, you'd have an interesting Shiloh. Yeah.
Something bothered me a little earlier. I just said Rabbi Akiva Eiger argues on the Magen Avraham whether we can be yotzei in Parshas V'Shalach.
Because
you said Parshas V'Shalach, it's not exceedingly destroy Amalek.
Yeah.
But you said Gufa Parshas V'Shalach is where we got the commandment to read the Torah.
That's correct, but it's still not a tzibwe. Meaning what Chazal are doing is like this. In Parshas B'Shalach, there is a tzibwe given to Moshe, k'soiv zois zikaren b'sefer. But what you do with that zikaren b'sefer is only in tiseitze, zachor es asher. So the concept is...
So what do we do? We're reading it from the Torah. We're not actually doing the physical act of destroying Amalek.
No, that we're not doing for sure. We're doing mitzvah of Zohar, right? There are two mitzvahs. There's Zohar and there's Mocha. But both of them are in Kiseitse, even though we're using the words in B'Shalach to give us a prat of the mitzvah. But there's no tzivoy, per se, at all in Parshas B'Shalach, except indirectly. K'sayv zay zikaran b'sefer, which means the zikarai that I'm going to give you in Kiseitse should be written b'sefer. K'sayv zay the current of Sefer. Now, here, though, we do have a very interesting chiddush of the Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch says, we have two mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah to destroy Amalek, with Rav Sternbach's chiddush or not, however you understand it. He doesn't bring that. And we have a mitzvah to remember Amalek. So Zuck the Sefer Achinuch, this would seem to be like the Tzad, that the purpose of remembering is in order to destroy. Which may imply that after you destroy, you don't have to remember. Aber Zuck the Sefer Achinuch, women, nashim. Women, he says two things. Each one is a separate chiddush. The two chiddushim he says. Chiddush number one is, women are not mechliyavais in the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. Why? Because since destroying Amalek is normally in the context of a milchama, nashim are lav benais milchama. Therefore, right, women are normally exempt from war. Therefore, women are not chayavais in mechiyas Amalek. That's one chiddush. I'll come back to that. Chiddush number two is, since the purpose of zochor is in order that you'll remember to be mocha, this is a separate chiddush. Since women are not mechiyavais in mechiyas Amalek, they are not mechuyavais in zachiras Amalek. Therefore, according to the Sefer Achinuch, it would turn out that women do not have an obligation, certainly in the Torah, maybe in the Rabbanim, but in the Torah they are not mechuyavos in Parsha Socher. Now, both parts of the Chinuch are a chiddush. Both parts are mechudush. We'll talk about it. I just want to point out, you know, it's very common in the United States, maybe more so than Eretz Yisrael, that, and again, even in the very modern congregations, that, you know, women make it a big, big inyan. They have to hear Parsha Socher, and there's multiple Torah readings, and they do it in the afternoon, and etc., because women have to hear Parsha Socher. So the point is, the Sefer HaChinuch holds women don't have to hear Parsha Socher, and in fact, once again, the minog in Europe, in Eastern Europe, seems to be that women were lav davka mahadar to hear Parsha Socher. It's an Americana shechumra. Every door has to have some chumra that one takes on, etc. So this was Parsha Socher. But l'maisa, the Sefer HaChinuch does pater women from Parsha Socher. But the emes is, it is important to see that both nekudas of the Sefer HaChinuch are a big chiddush. First of all, even the basic idea that women are peturais from mechiyas amalek, because they're not benois milchama. You might ask the following kasha. Remember, in Maseches, the Torah in Parsha Shoftim says certain people are pater from going to war. Right, the person that was ma'areis a woman and didn't make nisuin, the person that built a house and didn't live in it, the person who had a vineyard and did not yet enjoy the fruit because of the 3 years of Orla, he's chozer me'orchei ha'milchama, and even a yarei barach levav, a person is scared. Right, there's an exemption for people who are terrified of war. It's not clear how many soldiers that's gonna leave you with. But the theory is that the Yorvei Baruch HaLevav is going to make everybody else scared, and it would be difficult. So what is the Mishnah insight to say? When do we have these exemptions? We only have these exemptions for a Milchemes Rishus, an optional war, like a war of expansion. But a Milchemes Mitzvah, Hakol Yaitzin. Now, if it just would have said Hakol Yaitzin, that wouldn't be such a kasha, because Hakayil is only going on the list in Parsha Shoftim. That includes an Oros, who did not make Nisuin, and a Bias, without a Chanukas Abayas, and the Kerem. It doesn't say women, right? The Torah itself doesn't say in Parsha Shoftim women are exempt. We just know it generally. But the problem is, the Mishnah goes on and says, Hakol Yaitzin says, Afilu Chasa Nechedre Vekala. This is the problem. The Mishnah says, Kala Nechukasa. We drag the kala away from the chuppah to fight a milchemes mitzvah. Now, what is a milchemes mitzvah? So the Rambam says there are three types of milchemes mitzvah. One type is Shiva Samin. The other type is Amalek. It's called a milchemes mitzvah. And the third type is to defend the Jewish people who are under attack. Now, that third type is quite controversial today, because you might use that as an argument to say that women ought to be drafted. Forget about the Yeshiva boys. Women ought to be drafted because of that. Okay, well, I'll come to that too. But putting that aside, that's the controversial thing. But putting that aside, just asking Stamazai, if Milchemes Mitzvah, you take the kala from the chuppah, so women are chayavis in Milchemes Mitzvah. If women are chayavis in Milchemes Mitzvah, how could the Sefer HaChinuch say, because Nashim are not benois milchama, they're not chayiv in Mechiyas HaMalek, right? It's a stira to the Mishnah in Saita itself. So the Sefer HaChinuch would have to learn. Yep.
Government learns that the third thing is to be attacked by a nation or attacked by anybody. If you see someone trying to kill a Jew in Kansas, and you kill the other guy, would that be considered a misrepresentation?
Yeah, the question becomes that the Rambam's third category overlaps with the din of Rodeh. That is a good question. In other words, what is the difference between a defensive milchemes mitzvah and the din of Rodeh? Now, clearly, the Rambam's—it's a good question. And there are nafkaminas. One nafkamina would be the area of collateral damage, which is a major issue. By that I mean the following: let's say Reuven is trying to kill Shimon or a guy, whatever it is, right? So I have a chiv to be matzil Shimon by killing Reuven if I can't disable Reuven another way. But let's say that the only way I could disable Reuven is by killing a pedestrian or the like. So the din of Reidef does not allow you to kill somebody that's not a Reidef. And in such a situation, it's an unfortunate Shevi al Taisa, where you're not, because again, you can't kill one person to save another person unless the person you're killing is a Reidef. So any collateral damage, as it's called in military situations, that is beyond the person who's actually doing the endangerment, would not be nichnas in the din of Reidef. On the other hand, when something has a shame milchama, so milchama can be fought whatever way is effective. So there are nafkaminas. And it is difficult. You're correct. It's not a pashut thing halachically to know what is a war and what is a Reidef situation. For example, when you have a nation against a nation, that's a war. But, you know, a lot of the problems today are things that aren't really nations, whether it's the Palestinian Authority, whether it's Al-Qaeda, right? That's the whole concept. Even the Hobson American law, the fact that Bush made up the phrase, war against terrorism, I mean, there is a chachma against that, because what you can do when something is a war is different than what you do when you're simply self-defense or the like. So today, especially when you have all sorts of groups that have bombs and have other things, it's hard to be magdir what is milchama and what is right. But you are correct, there's going to be an overlap. That's a big issue today in Israel, because we don't have Amalek, we don't have Shivas Amin, but we certainly have defensive situations. I'll come back to that later, but I just want to focus on the theoretical question, and that is, how can Mechinuch pater women from Mechias Amalek? Mechias Amalek is for sure Milchamas Mitzvah, and Kala Mechupasa. So Vais Techais, the Chinuch has to learn that Kala Mechupasa does not mean you send a woman into combat. Kala Mechupasa means women have to do something. So they have to be secretaries, they have to, in other words, they have to contribute to the need to fight Amalek, but they don't do so by direct Mechia, they do so by whatever they do. Well, then the question, let me ask a summarized question. Where does the Torah say women are not allowed to wage war? Nowhere. But the concept would be, once we understand they're not mechuyavos, then the inyanim of tznius would say they should not be involved. Now, we've had successful women killers. I mean, Yoel kills Sisera, so we've had women that were able to accomplish it. But Bederach Klal, they're not to be involved in it. So the chinuch has to learn. It's not clear. I mean, if the chinuch is learning that nashim lav v'nash mulchama patras them from mulchama.
If you don't learn the chinuch,
then she's chayavis. Then she's chayavis.
Even if the sefer says that it was to be secretaries, So then they are contributing to mechia, so they should try to be the chayvin zechira.
So the question is, that's the question. The question is, if they are mechuyavos to be mishtatvos in the milchama, yes. So you have to learn like this. You have to learn that they are mechuyavos to be misayaya, the men, in the fulfillment of the mitzvah of mechia, but it's not considered to be intrinsically their chia. Huh? Right. Now, the other point is a separate chiddush. Even if it's naniach that women are peturas from mechiyas, which in itself is a little shver, how do you get the jump to pocket them from zechira? Now this would depend, actually, right? If the purpose of zechira is to be mezareis me to do mechiya, then you can understand. But if zechira is stamazite, you remember the rishus of Amalek, especially the way the Sifrei Chassidus say, so I shouldn't become an Amaleki in my name, other than just to remember not to contaminate myself. Yom Bechari, it's not connected, right? So the Chinuch is saying two separate chidushim. One is women are paturis from Mechi, and the second is Zechira is Kamakutris from Mechi. So be it as it may, the bottom line is, according to the Chinuch, women are not Chayavis in Parshas Zohar, and even though you could learn Midrabanan, they are, but for my say, the Chinuch is Mashma, even Midrabanan, you're not Mechayavis.